Blog Talk Radio.
C.L. Connie Gammon, and I am the Prohibition Party nominee for president. Between now and Election Day 2020, I will hold these sessions on Blog Talk Radio with you, and I'll let you learn about the Prohibition Party, about me, and about how I and they stand on issues. Thank you for being with us today. Before I get started, I'd like to tell you how you can contact us if you desire to. The Prohibition Party's website is www.prohibitionparty.org. The Gammon for President email address is gammonforpresident@hotmail.com. Pretty easy, huh? The Gammon for President website is gammonforpresident.webs, that's webs.com. The Gammon for President Facebook page is facebook.com/Gammon for President. And finally, our mailing address is Gammon for President Committee, P.O. Box 412, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Here in Tennessee, we call it Lafayette. Every place else on earth calls it Lafayette, so that's why I chose to say Lafayette. Let's get started today by exploding a few myths about prohibition. Myth number one, national prohibition was a failure. That is totally untrue. I know that's what you've read. I know that's what you've heard. I know that's what historians like to say, but it's not true. During national prohibition, drinking in America declined by 80%. 80%, okay? Alcohol-related diseases such as cirrhosis of the liver and alcohol-induced insanity disappeared. They ceased to exist. There were none of that. By the time Prohibition ended, there were no new cases of cirrhosis of the liver being reported. Of course, after Prohibition ended, they came back. That's just the fact. That's just the way it is. By the way, I will accept calls from time to time if you wish to call in. Our number is 760-259-2350. However, if you do call in and you're going to spout that garbage that the liquor barons have been telling you for all these years, expect me to challenge you on it. And if you are using those myths, you won't be able to stand up to the challenge because they were untrue. Myth number three, the cost of enforcing prohibition was astronomical. Total myth. It did not cost very much to enforce national prohibition if you consider the cost of prohibition to the taxpayers. Let's look at it today. Today, the cost to the taxpayers associated with alcohol is more than $250 billion a year. That's one quarter of $1 trillion we spend each year as taxpayers to fund our alcohol addiction. $250 billion. This is substantially more than we spend on any kind of drug interdiction. That's the fact. Number three, national prohibition was a drain on the economy due to lost tax revenues. That is flatly false. Again, we'll look at today's numbers. Today, alcohol revenue derived from taxes from all sources is about 7 cents per drink. The cost to the taxpayers, about $2.05 per drink. In other words, it costs us 40 times more in lost taxes than in gain taxes. It's costing us billions of dollars a year, and that's the truth. Okay, we'll go to the next one. This is a big one. Myth: the mafia was created due to national prohibition. This statement is so ridiculous, so utterly false, that I can't believe it's still being spouted, but it is, and it's untrue. The truth is that the mafia was around many, many, many years before prohibition, and when prohibition ended, it stayed around. Okay? Myth number five: prohibition made the mafia incredible amounts of money, incredible amounts of profit. That is false. The truth is that national prohibition cost the mafia money. As I said before, 80% decline in alcohol use cut into the mafia's revenue supply. They made less money because there were fewer people drinking. I'll get in more of that in a minute. The truth is that there were speakeasies in our big cities, but the number of speakeasies, say, in Chicago were much smaller than the number of bars in Chicago before prohibition. That's the truth. And it's by a large number. Now get this, back to the earlier thing. The mafia controlled alcohol distribution before, during, and after prohibition. They already controlled alcohol distribution before prohibition. Jimmy Hoffa and his Teamsters Union did not introduce the mob to transportation. They already controlled the transportation industry, at least in regards to alcohol. Again, fact, not fiction. Okay? And here's the proof that the mafia was not making a great deal of money during prohibition. The mafia wanted prohibition to end. I'm going to say that again. The mafia wanted prohibition to end. One more time so you get it. The mafia wanted prohibition to end. Now, had prohibition and illegal booze been the cash cow the propaganda say it was, the mafia would not have worked for an end to prohibition. They didn't want it to keep it, right? You're not going to give away something when you're making money on it. You're going to try to keep it. But the fact is that the mafia pumped millions of dollars into the presidential campaigns of Al Smith and Franklin Roosevelt in exchange for the promise that those men would get rid of prohibition once they took office. And that's what happened. Okay? So that's the past. That explodes a few of the myths about prohibition. Let's move to the present. Okay? Let's fast forward to right now, and let's see what we've got here. The alcohol use in America is a national health crisis. I'm going to say that again. It's a national health crisis. Alcohol use in America amounts to a national health crisis. Here are some of the facts. Alcohol is America's most used addictive drug by far. Take all other addictive drugs, all other recreational drugs in America, they don't amount to what alcohol amounts to by itself. Okay? Okay, then let's look at the facts. At least 88,000 Americans die each year from alcohol use. That's directly. Many more indirectly, but that's directly. And that 88,000 number, that doesn't include the 10,500 killed by drunk drivers every year. So the actual number of people killed directly by alcohol use is around 100,000, but indirectly it's many, many more than that, okay? Let's look at alcohol and crime. Beyond the drunk driving, alcohol is responsible for an incredible amount of crime. 500,000, that's right, 500,000 cases of violent crime each year can be directly associated with alcohol. 500,000 crimes. People who are drunk commit about 500,000 violent crimes a year, okay? 5 out of every 6 murders in the United States today, 5 out of every 6, the murderer is drunk, okay? You can trace those directly to people being under the influence of alcohol, 5 out of every 6. 60% of all rapes in America are committed by people under the influence of alcohol. Another thing is, a large number of the people who are raped are defenseless because they too are drunk. About $100 billion in property damage a year can be laid at the doorstep of people who are drunk. 1.4 million persons each year are arrested for driving drunk. 1.4 million. Okay. So alcohol is a national health crisis. And let's look at this. We declared AIDS an epidemic years ago, yet the number of Americans with AIDS never approached 1 in 4. And that's what we've got with alcohol. 1 in 4 Americans under the age of 30 is an alcoholic today. 1 in 4. And that number can't help but to grow unless we do something about it. I'm not okay with it. I don't know if you are or not, but I'm not okay with that. 1 in 4 Americans under the age of 30 is an alcoholic. Years ago, we set out to defeat the scourge of tuberculosis. And we, for the most part, we did. But TB never claimed 1 in 4 Americans in any demographic group. Yet it was something that we put the federal government on and state governments and local governments, and we beat it down, and for the most part, we ended it. Polio was declared a national tragedy. But again, polio never claimed anywhere near the number of lives that alcohol does each and every year. We beat polio. We can beat alcohol, too, but we've got to be willing to try. There is no doubt, again, alcohol in America is a national health crisis. So please don't give me that crap about alcohol that the beer barons spread. You know, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars spewing those lies. It's not true. The most dangerous drug lords in the world today are not in Mexico or in Colombia. They live in places like Colorado, and they have names like Coors. Those are the drug lords who cause the most damage to us. So that's my weekly rant on prohibition. But the Prohibition Party stands for more than just getting rid of alcohol. Before I go into some of that, I want to once again give you our contact information if you'd like to contact us. The Prohibition Party's website is www.prohibitionparty.org. Go to that website and you get links to everything you'll need. The Gammon for President website is gammonforpresident.webs.com, which is .wbs.com. Okay, the Gammon for President email is gammonforpresident@hotmail.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/Gammon for President, or just go to Facebook and type in Gammon for President. Our snail mail address, if you'd like to write us, is Gammon for President Committee, P.O. Box 412, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. That's Gammon for President, P.O. Box 412, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Now let's get on to some of these things, other things that the Prohibition Party are that I stand for. I don't really speak for the party. I speak for myself. So these views you're about to hear expressed are mine alone. It is my belief that if we're going to save America, we can do it simply. All we've got to do is pull out the Constitution, read it, understand it, and apply it. Pretty easy. And I think we can do that because most Americans are intelligent. If they, you know, if they hear the truth, they will believe it. They haven't been hearing the truth lately, and that's the problem. The American Republic was founded on four great stones. Okay? These four great stones are very important, and it's very important for us to understand what they are. They are, one, individual liberty. Two, states' rights. Three, free enterprise. And four, limited government. Now, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes with each of these. I'll go in detail as we do these programs between now and Election Day, but we'll just get it started now with just a little bit of it, just a smidgen. Number one, individual liberty. Individuals have rights extended to them by God, not by the government. The government does not extend any rights at all, none. The government cannot create rights. But it can sure enough kill them, and unfortunately, it is killing them day by day. The Constitution sought to protect individual rights and individual liberties. However, some politicians have always desired to limit individual liberties for the sake of their own power. If you can limit the liberty of the people, then you can control them more easily. And that's what some politicians have done. If individual liberty is infringed, no one can be free. No one, any power without individual liberty. You can't stand up to a tyrannical government if you have no individual liberty. Today we have hundreds of regulations telling us how to live, how to act, how to think. Don't you think it's time we took our lives back from the government? Isn't it time we demanded to be free, to live in the condition that God intended us to live in? God wanted us to be free, so let's be free. It is time that we stop allowing ourselves to be regulated into serfdom by an oppressive government, and our government is oppressive. I'll explain and expand on this topic more in future episodes. Number two, states' rights. Ronald Reagan was fond of saying that states created the federal government, not the other way around. He was right. In Federalist 51, James Madison described the American government as a compound republic. That is, the states and the federal government are to work together but still remain separate. Not as individual countries, but as separate entities within that one compound republic. Okay, if you have trouble understanding that, I'll talk more about that at a later date too. It makes sense that the closer we keep the government to the people, the better the government will function. That's what the directors and the creators of the Constitution wanted. For instance, it's easier for me to saunter on down to Nashville and raise Cain with the state legislature than it is for me to trek up to Washington. Of course, it's useless to have state governments if they were impotent, if they were powerless. We must return all legislative powers that are legitimate to the states, because many of those powers have been preempted by the federal government, and we need to take those back. We need to demand that state legislatures resume their constitutional role. It's as simple as that. Right now, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Did you say go to the prohibitionparty.com?
No, sir. It's, if you want to talk, it's the prohibition is prohibitionparty.org, O-R-G.
Dot org. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Because, all right, let me correct what I'm doing and put in the org instead of the com, and then I'll take a look at your website.
Well, it's not my website, sir. It's the party's website.
All right. I know.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if that works. All right.
Okay.
All right, Prohibition Party. Jesus, again another glitch. All right.
Okay.
You say it's more than just banning alcohol and you're going into the Constitution. What makes you different than any other, than let's say the Democratic or Republican Party? What makes you different than the other independent parties?
Well, because what makes us different from the Democratic and Republican Party is the Democratic Republican parties are not constitutional parties. They don't apply the Constitution. That's what makes us different. Other than the Prohibition Party. What makes us different from other third parties is we have a record. The Prohibition Party has been around since 1869. We have 150 years of a record, and it's a very, very good one. We've been running presidential candidates since 1872. So we're not some organization that every 4 years becomes a different organization with the same name. Because, for instance, an American party, there've been hundreds of them. Even the Constitution Party, there have been 50 or more Constitution parties over time.
All right, let me interrupt you because you've only got a few minutes left on your show. If you were president, would you continue the policies of Trump? In other words, would you try to lower taxes, deregulate the regulations
okay.
that are hampering business?
Well, I was just speaking about regulations. We should not regulate people, and we should not regulate free enterprise beyond the point that we have to. That doesn't mean, you know, we don't want this socialist idea of government controls everything on earth, but we also don't want this idea that international conglomerates stomp down smaller businesses. Those are, you know, two forks of the snake's tongue. Okay? So as far as lowering taxes, absolutely, because, you know, we've got more than $1 trillion.
Wait,
let me finish. More than $1 trillion in our budget, much of it used for no good.
I don't want a politician's rhetoric. What I want are answers to the questions because you've only got about.
You got
10
answer to
left.
The question, sir. You asked the question, I gave the answer.
I'm asking
you asked about lower taxes. The answer is yes.
Forget it. You don't listen. You're not going to be a good politician or a president if you don't listen.
Sir,
you
I am listening
listen?
To you. I answered your question.
What?
You asked
Holy
me about cut
Jesus,
taxes.
If you're going to listen, listen. I'm
well,
asking
sir,
you
if you're
going
to ask a question, listen to the
Holy,
answer.
Forget it. You're a lousy politician. You're
thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me today,
nothing.
Sir. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Moron.
If you've got another question, ask it, because I've answered your question.
All right, then shut up.
Sir.
Here's the question.
Please.
Oh, forget it. Get off. Get off my ear. Just get off Block Talk
answer,
Radio.
Answer the
question.
Ask your question,
you don't even
sir.
Want to have people. You don't even want to
ask
have people know who
question.
You are, otherwise you wouldn't even be on Block Talk. If
sir,
you think Block Talk
ask
is going to get you elected, you're delusional.
Please ask me the question. What is your question?
All right. What? Would you make the corporate tax? What percentage?
It depends on the corporation itself. Here's the thing about corporate tax. Taxes for all corporations should be based on the same. I don't approve of graduated taxes because we punish success. So the corporate tax. Would be a basic something, and it would be something small.
All right.
And here's why it would
rhetoric.
Be something.
Here's another question
for
you before I. Here's another question, which is important. What would you do about the Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve has no purpose being in existence. Congress of the United States is tasked to coin and regulate currency. Okay? So we need no Federal Reserve, because Federal Reserve is not a congressional, is not mandated by the Congress, it's mandated by the executive. So it's unconstitutional.
So what would you do?
What would I do? Well, we get rid of the Federal Reserve. We set up a national bank where Congress could regulate currency and coin money, which is what they're supposed to do.
Well, if we get rid of the Federal Reserve, we have the Treasury to do that.
We do have it wouldn't be the – see, here's the thing. The Treasury Department oversees. It doesn't coin money, and it doesn't regulate currency. That's not what the Treasury Department's supposed to do. Congress is supposed to do that.
Through the Treasury.
Well, not through the Treasury. Through the Congress.
The
Treasury Department, sir, through the Congress.
Okay.
The Treasury Department
is the national bank, you know what?
Well, do we have a good connection? I don't know that you're hearing me. What you do, you set up a national bank. The Congress coins money and regulates currency. Okay? As far as interest rates, let them take care of themselves, because they will. They always did before. As far as the Treasury Department takes care of things like counterfeiting and things like that. That's their function. It is not their function to coin money or to regulate currency. Is that an answer, or do you?
Go away.
Anything else before we go?
No, just go away.
Sir, this is my program. If you want me to hang up on you, I will. But I'd very much like to continue the conversation.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. But nobody's listening to you anyway, so
that's okay. You are.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd give you a shot, and you showed me what you.
Well, sir. Bye. Okay, let's get back. We had a great caller there who didn't approve of what I was saying. That's fine. You don't have to approve of it. But if you come on the show, you're going to hear it. That's who I am. Let's get back to where we are. Free enterprise system. The United States was created by entrepreneurs, by people who earn their own living, by people who are innovative. We've got to get back to our free enterprise system. We've got to do that. Okay? We've got to get back to people earning their own living, not dependent on the government. That's who we are. Okay? That's who we've got to be. We can't allow the government to control our lives. Okay, they're whispering in my ear that it's about time to go. We'll pick this up next time. You guys have a great day. And next week's another program. Bye now.